Hey Rob, what's your takeaway from the Derek and the Dominoes double album Layla and assorted other love songs? Eric Clapton's yearning love for Patty Boyd?
I'm not sure, but why does side three have to be so bad?
Well, welcome to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Mike Snyder. They've let us come back. I'm here with Rob Gates. Rob, thanks for joining me again.
My pleasure, Mike. And obviously, our side three picks didn't alienate the overlords of Rock in the Suburbs. So we are allowed to return for day two of our journey through double albums, specifically the side three of double albums. And for you young people out there, that means back in the day when you got a vinyl album, a big thick vinyl album, they were always heavier. They were twice as heavy as the single album. Side three was the second disc, first side that you would drop the proverbial needle on, and the music would come out and play. And in some cases, it would be completely experimental, and you'd wonder, I guess they needed something to fill out the four sides of the album. So we get this.
What I always loved about double albums is it was there. I mean, you love this about albums in general, you know, vinyl albums, because they were large. You could have art or photos, whatever. And then if you had a double album, it would open up like a book.
Yes.
And you'd have, and so you'd have two liner notes things inside too, you know, holding the, you know, sleeves holding the records often. And then you'd also have, you know, whether it's lyrics or pictures or art or whatever in the gate, I guess it's a gatefold or whatever. I don't. So yesterday we talked about double album releases with particularly standout side three. So if you didn't listen to that, please go back to suburbspod.com or your podcast destination and check that out after you listen to this. But today we're going to offer up some, we're going to sacrifice some of these double albums. We're going to sacrifice their side three because maybe they're filler, but they could be lost, arguably. We're going to debate that and would not hurt the overall quality of the work. In fact, by editing it down, you might have a better piece of work overall, right? What's your first offering today, Rob?
So first offering today, let's go with Led Zeppelin and Physical Graffiti. A great album. Again, all of these are great albums. But side three, and again, like we said yesterday, if you're a huge fan of the band, you know, every side is going to be awesome. Every song is going to be awesome. You're going to like say, you guys are nuts. You guys are crazy. So this is more for the average listener, if you will. Or again, music nerds will find every side. Oh, side three of Physical Graffiti, man, is there deep tracks on there, deep, deep tracks that nobody really appreciates.
That 9 minute In the Light. I live for that.
Exactly. Whoa, 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 whoa. In my mind, other than 10 Years Gone, you know, that side three is pretty forgettable, you know, again, to the casual rock and roll fan.
I mean, I love side two because, I mean, I like Houses of the Holy, but Trampled Underfoot was like the first radio single that came out new that I latched on to Led Zeppelin. And then you have Kashmir after that. I mean, those are still regularly played in the gym, you know, when I got my headphones on, those two songs. So, I mean, if I had to pick a side here, I'd pick side two. But I totally agree. three is the weakest, but if I step my step across the line into my Zeppelin nerd, you know, nerd zone, I wouldn't want to lose it, but it definitely fits in that category where if you're going to edit this down, that's what would go.
Yes. Another one on this list, and this was surprising to me because, again, it's an unbelievable album, and it's an album that really has to be listened to, track one, side one, all the way through, side four, track five, I believe, or track four, is Derek and the Dominoes, Layla, and Assorted Other Love Songs. And when I was prepping for the show, Mike, I said, oh, I've got to go to Layla because A, it's one of my favorite albums, and I know, you know, all the sides just have to be amazing. But side three, it arguably the weakest side on the album. There's only three tracks.
Right.
And in a lot of these double albums, the side three seem to be lacking in content. Outside of London Calling, which has, you know, something like 20 songs on it, like, right, you know, every Clash album does. But side three of Layla with Tell the Truth, which is a great song. Why Does Love Got to Be So Bad? Also a great song. And then we have You Ever Loved a Woman, which again is a good song, but that particular side, those three tracks, I think if you lost them all, it would be devastating to the album. But I think you could certainly lose Have You Ever Loved a Woman?
Yeah. Have you ever loved a woman? So much you tremble in pain. Have you ever loved a woman? So much you tremble in pain. All the time, you know, yeah, she bears another man's name.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with you on any of those. I mean, I agree. I like the album as a piece, but but the premise we're on here now, it certainly fits in that criteria where it's like, if you were going to lose this side three, it still would be a great album and might be better.
Now, I know you've got a couple to add this to this particular list.
Yeah. Let me get my track list up here because I'll admit that this album is, the side three is such that I don't even know that I could have told you the songs on there. And it's Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Goodbye Yellow Brick Road by Elton John. I mean, you think of all the songs that you know that are on there. Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding, Candle in the Wind, Benny and the Jets, obviously Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, you know, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. But side three is Sweet Painted Lady, The Ballad of Danny Bailey, Dirty Little Girl, and All the Girls Love Alice. You know, and I'll be honest, I mean, you know, I could lose those. You know, if the completest wouldn't want to lose them, but if you're just easy listening or, you know, moderately easily listening, you know, that's not going to be a great loss to you, I don't think.
So she lives down.
I listened to the, you know, I wore this album down, but only side one and two. you know, I never really got past side first two sides. The rest of it was like, you know, I guess Alton had a lot of material to put down and decided to go for it, but I, you know,
right,
never, because side three was so weak, and I just never even got to side four. I couldn't even tell you what's on side four.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did, the only one I know that I really have listened to a lot is Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, and that was probably because it was a single. You know, it was a,
right. Yeah.
I don't know how high it went, but it was I'm sure it was a top 40 hit. So.
Yes, it was ubiquitously played on the radio and at every skating rink in the late 80s.
Well, that's.
We are dating ourselves somewhat with these lists.
Well, everybody, but yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a lot of, it's funny, you pointed me to a list on Wikipedia of all the double albums. I mean, there's it's voluminous how many double albums there are. So we're not.
No, I was shocked. I was shocked by how many double albums.
I mean, we're not mentioning them all. There's no way we wouldn't have time. But if there's ones that you think fit these categories, or you don't think we have them in the right categories, we'd love to hear from you. I mean, there's some that we may have referenced, but are not fitting into any of these categories, but are great albums just because they're so good throughout. We don't need to, they don't fit any of these categories. I'm like, you mentioned London Calling. I mean, that is just an album that's, you wouldn't want to pick a side to lose. Same like Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones. I mean, in fact, you know, there's not Exile on Main Street's really kind of weird because it is of a piece. I mean, there aren't that many big hits on there. I mean, Tumbling Dice, you know, but, you know, that is a piece of work that I think all the sides have their strengths. Go ahead.
And if you're a Stones fan, you can't lose any of that album. Yeah.
If you're a Bob Dylan fan, I wouldn't want to have to pick a side to lose on Blonde on Blonde. You know,
right.
I wouldn't want to be that. I'm not the biggest Jimi Hendrix fan, but I was looking at Electric Ladyland, and I wouldn't want to have to edit that down.
No, and the same thing with Metallica's Injustice for All.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Tusk, as you mentioned earlier, Fleetwood Mac, and then another concept album. And again, it may the brilliance of Peter Gabriel and Genesis may escape me on this one, and listener Kevin Goff may call me out for sure. But you know, The Land Lies Down on Broadway, you know, side three just seems again very experimental in its, you know, almost to the point like, well, we have enough music for you know, three sides, but we need to come up with four. So we'll sort of, you know, use side three as the dumping ground of stuff just so we can fill out the rest of the album.
There's a couple albums I wanted to mention that I'm not smart enough to know, and I would love commentary. I mean, like Zen Arcade by Husker Du. I mean, I'm no expert on this album, but that feels like it falls into the category of solid piece of work, don't edit it. Chicago Transit Authority, way you know decades before that, is another one. And then like Bitches Brew by Miles Davis, I'd love to hear if Patrick has any thoughts about, could that, is there a issue with side three, or is side three super integral? I mean, those are albums that I know are, you know, revered by various, you know, audiences, but I don't really feel like I was qualified to say this doesn't work for me, or this is a standout side.
And Chicago has a bunch of double albums.
That's true.
Not nearly as many as Frank Zappa, who looks like everything he ever recorded was a double album.
We'll have to see if Phil Garcia wants to chime in on Frank Zappa's side threes down the road.
And then, of course, we have Tales from Topographic Oceans by Yes. Which essentially every side is a song. So you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. And I'd love to hear some listener feedback on that one, because I have not, did not even hear it. I'd call myself a little bit more than a casual Yes fan. I'd never heard of that particular album.
I have listened to it a few times in the past, but I mean, you're going to go to Close to the Edge or Fragile or something like that. It's interesting. There's the longest song on there is more than 23 minutes. The shortest song is over 17 minutes long. So it's definitely, I was reading, you know, some reviews of it, you know, and dealing with the history of it. It's like they really took that Prague experience to its utmost, you know, that Yes could do. So, but if someone wants to pick side three there and tell us what to do with it, we'd be happy to forward that along.
I'm sure Steve Howe would appreciate that.
Yeah. Any other thoughts you have about the side three or the double album experience?
Well, from an audience standpoint, looking at our audience, I'd love to hear some feedback on some of the more recent releases, even though not necessarily on vinyl, but I think they qualify as double albums according to our list that we compiled. There were some artists on there that I recognize as being something older than, you know, the 1980s, which is about where, as listeners, old time listeners to the pod know, is about where my musical knowledge runs out.
Well, I, and we didn't mention this, I had it on one of my earlier lists, but like, for instance, like, and this is still not recent. I mean, Wilco's Being There album came out in 96. But I feel like its side three is very strong. But if someone wants to break down Wilco's side three, I would listen to it. But that's a pretty solid piece of work.
The other thing that really surprised me when doing this research was Rush never put out a double album.
Yeah, just that the live ones, maybe.
Just the live ones, but there was no studio double album in it. And again, they had such a wealth and deep catalog and songs that tended to run long. I would have expected such. And the Grateful Dead never put out a double studio album. They put out a zillion double live albums, and they continue to do so to this day. But yeah, never recorded a double studio album.
Maybe those bands were good editors of themselves.
That is an interesting point. Interesting thought. Perhaps I'll leave it right there.
All right. Well, listeners, if you have any thoughts about the side three concept, you know, and you have your favorite that we missed, we'd love to hear about it. If you don't like if you want to debate what we have said about certain albums, we'd love to hear that too. You can send a voice memo to rock@suburbspod.com, or you can call the Suburban Party Line at 612-440-1984. And maybe we can put together a follow-up episode. But we appreciate you listening, and I'm not sure what day Jim and Patrick are back, but we appreciate them letting us sit in their chairs a little bit, and hope everybody had a good time at Suburbs Fest South, and everybody got home safely.
Yes, I hope that I make it home safely.
I hope you're alive to hear this when it plays on the interweb. So
yes, so am I. That would be very good.
Well, thanks again, everybody, and we'll make sure to listen tomorrow to Rock in the Suburbs.
I'm home with the knowledge and magic of the source. Attuned to the majesty of music, they marched as one with the
just never even got to side four. I couldn't even tell you what's on side four.